everyone. Welcome on into the Lineup Logic Podcast, daily fantasy podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the NFL DFS slate upcoming on FanDuel and DraftKings. We are looking at week 12 of the NFL, breaking it down here this week. It's a big one, man. We got the, you know, you guys, if you haven't listened already, we got the Thanksgiving Spectacular podcast. We're going to have a little bit of a live stream event tonight, but we'll also probably be bringing you an NDA breakdown tonight, Josh Fern and myself. So that should be good stuff. Try to give you guys as much DFS content as I can before heading into the holiday weekend when I will be with the fam doing that whole thing. You know how it goes. Grandparents and cousins, you know, all that fun stuff. Anyhow, before we go on to this, I want to real quick point something out. I know it's been all over Twitter, sort of all over Twitter, not really all over fantasy Twitter. And if this isn't political, this is just about the internet. It's about the FCC thing. I just want to point out one particular example about how this FCC stuff might actually affect like the fantasy internet. So if you don't want to listen, fine, fast forward, whatever. But this is legitimately important because I think it's going to cost consumers a lot more money to be able to do what we do. So let's say, for example, okay, as FCC stuff goes down, it goes through, it's fine. What it's going to give your internet provider the ability to do is say, hey, listen, you know how we were just charging you $50 a month for regular old internet and you log on, you can do whatever the hell you want? And we say, yeah, okay, great. That's net neutrality, right? You get on there, it's like turning the lights on. You pay for it, someone provides it, and then you can do with that space what you like. And the reverse is true for content providers. I can create content, I can freely get my content to all of my audience members. What this is going to ask us to do is it's going to allow Comcast, AT&T, to then control what channels we can get to and what the quality of the internet is that you are able to have based on how much you pay for it. So let's say, for example, you don't have a deluxe package. Well, you may not be able to stream a fantasy podcast, for example, because, well, your package doesn't include streaming streaming audio. You just have a basic website package. So you would have to upgrade to get the streaming audio package. Or your package in your region doesn't include fantasy gaming sites, and you don't have the sports addendum package, like a cable thing where you have to I have to now buy the sports package because I want to be able to access FanDuel and DraftKings. Or on my side, I, as a provider, because I'm uploading large amounts of audio or I'm using certain channels, I would have to make sure that I am able to get my podcast onto different channels to people who have different providers, because I have to be sure that regionality and different ISP providers, internet service providers, are actually able to broadcast. Whereas normally I would just go into a host site and anybody with the internet can find my host site. Well, that's not a guarantee now with the potentially, that's how this is going to work. It turns the internet into basically an a la carte menu that the users don't control, that Comcast and AT&T and Verizon control. So if that bugs the shit out of you like it bugs me because my wife and I both work on the internet, then, you know, talk to your congressman, go to Save New Net Neutrality, get involved, because it basically is the FCC lining up to say, hey, Comcast, do you want to charge more? And they're saying, yeah, we'd love that. We'd love to charge more by nickeling, diming people. And they're going, yeah, I think that's actually a good idea. Why don't we just let you do that? Fuck that. Anyway, all right, that's enough. Let's talk about fantasy football in the free world. Let's talk about it. All right, let's talk about fantasy football. And I realize, guys, by the way, sorry, if that explanation isn't perfect, it may not all work out like that. I know. It's a hypothetical kind of example to start to wrap your head around if you haven't read the articles. It's kind of just a hypothetical way that things might go. So don't come after me and say, Sean, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. It's a hypothetical. Obviously, there's a million and different one possibilities of the way that this could all pan out, but I just wanted to talk about it. Football time. Let's talk about all of the games that we have upcoming on the NFL Week 12 slate. All right, so I'm going to go super fast through the game-by-game breakdown, and at the end, I'm going to give you the player pool. So it's going to be kind of a condensed thing. I'm not going to, I'm going to try not to swerve off on too many tangents. I'm going to try to watch the clock here and make sure that I keep on pace, but I'm already distracted. Okay, main slate, Cleveland versus Cincinnati, 38-point total here, lowest total on the slate, 15 implied for Cleveland. Cincinnati, 8-point favorites here. You have to think that the message of advantage lies with Cincinnati in this one. Offense has been a little bit stale recently, no doubt about it, but the massive advantage lies with their pass offense, which has pretty much been their entire offense anyway. Andy Dalton proved, he still is capable in that Denver game. Denver's defense is really, really struggling. You look at some of their numbers in the last month, they really are struggling. But the matchup advantage certainly belongs to Cincinnati here. A.J. Green played them last time. We were all over A.J. Green in that last matchup, and then we learned that Jason McCourty was elite. So I think if you want to go to this game, the things you have to be careful of are really the fact that you're going to want to go to A.J. Green in an elite matchup, but Jason McCourty has been shadowing guys. He's been taking them out of the game plan. Can't go to Joe Mixon, hyper inefficient. You can't go to the Cleveland side of the ball. I think it's Andy Dalton, Tyler Kroft, and that's it. And maybe the Cincinnati defense, depending on their health. Like, if you check on their health, they are continue to be a good unit as far as just, takeaways and plus matchups. So I don't mind that. Jacksonville, Arizona, also 38 total, 21-16. Jacksonville favored by 4.5 here on the road. You got to like the Jags defense here against Blaine Gabbert, only in his second start. Yeah, he looked good, but Houston's defense, no team is allowing more production to the wide receiver than the Houston defense. So, Gabbert basically had a free square to get himself started there. Yes, Jacksonville is on the road, but they just, put a hurting on Cleveland. We know that they're capable of putting up 20. They've been doing it on the regular, even with a decent Cleveland offensive line. So you get a bad quarterback situation, a banged up offensive line in Arizona. I think you have to look at the Jags D. Fournette got the snap bump last week. That was good. D.D. Westbrook was on 44% of snaps. He saw 6 targets. It's a clear passing situation for this offense, but they're going to run the ball no matter what. They're going to probably be in positive game script even before the game starts. Could you go to that second wide receiver thing that we saw Bruce Ellington, produce on? Yeah, and I think D.D. Westbrook is interesting. I think he's a tournament play, no doubt about it. Is he going to get 6 targets again? I don't know, but it only takes when you're that fast and you are running all, running free in the second level of the secondary, it only takes one. And that's the kind of guy that Westbrook is. So I think he's a great GPP play. If you want to throw some darts on him, might be kind of fun to see what he does in low dollar GPPs. Fournette, is he worth the workload in a tough rushing matchup? Listen, he had a bad rushing matchup in Cleveland, and he still got 28 carries, and they controlled that game in the way that they wanted it to, and that's the way that they want to do things, no doubt about it. So Fournette is out of the doghouse. The snap rate is up. The carries are up. Arizona's defense is good in rushing department. It's a question of the touchdowns. He hasn't been explosive. He doesn't catch any balls. So you have to have a touchdown from Leonard Fournette. And so if you project him to get a touchdown here, then I think that the Jags D and Leonard Fournette are an interesting stat. A Jaguar stack will definitely go lower owned. So I think you look at some of these lower total games and take a flyer on them and try to figure out who's going to score touchdowns. Carolina versus the Jets, 40.5-point total, 22-18 here. Carolina favored by 4 on the road. Carolina offense has has an edge here, no doubt about it. They've been playing well in the last couple games, but the Jets are like a quietly annoying fantasy defense. Not a ton of fantasy production allowed. They're not going to really allow a lot of teams. They're not going to allow teams to go for over 30 points. They're not going to allow for the onslaught. They haven't allowed a 100-yard receiver in a while. to haven't allowed a 100-yard rusher in a while. It's just kind of, you know, death by a thousand pricks with the New York Jets defense. So can you go to Carolina on the road here? Yeah, you can. I mean, they're coming off the bye. They should be healthy. Cam has been rushing the hell out of the ball. But I think that a lot of this is a stay away from me. I think that, you know, Cam would be the only piece that you could go to. Obviously, Devin Funchess is their lead receiver. He's been better. And you like this spot, especially if you get no Morris Claiborne. Then I think you think a little bit harder about Funchess. But that is, it's just not worth the price when you have other guys in similar matchups who are better receivers on, I think, you know. But of course, I acknowledge this. I have Carolina bias. I just don't necessarily see them as that attractive of a team. I think they're a good real life football team, better than a fantasy football team. Green Bay at Pittsburgh. Yikes. 41 point total, 13 implied for Green Bay, only and 27 for Pittsburgh. They are 14 point home favorites. I mean, and tell me that they're not going to win by two touchdowns. I mean, this is a Pittsburgh onslaught. This is where you want to go. You have to have exposure here to the key assets in this one. We've seen the Packers D slowly drop. They're one of the worst pass units. They have been for a long time. 24th to the quarterback, 29th to the wide receiver, allowing 30 points per game to the wide receiver. AB at home, coming off rest. What else do you want? I mean, come on. You know, they had a long week. They're back at home. I think you have to look at Lev Bell. And the question you have to ask yourself is, positive game script for Lev Bell at home as a massive home favorite? Yeah, okay, that's really nice. Or do you go to AB? They're similarly priced. It's, you can jam them both in. But I think AB has a little bit more upside. But then again, you know, three touchdown upside is not something you're going to see every single week. Of course, he did it last week, but it's not something you're going to see every single week. So don't bank on three touchdowns, 30 points. But it is possible. We know that's in his range of outcomes. It always has been. So the plays here are definitely AB, Lev Bell, of course, Ben, possibly. And listen, if you want to be different, I think you also go to Juju. I don't think that's crazy at all. Green Bay struggles against the slot receiver. We've seen Juju be a target again and again and again, especially if teams try desperately to take away Antonio or take away Lev Bell, then they end up leaving Juju free out of the slot, and he's been productive when Ben can find him there. So I think that's the way to be different here. And the Pittsburgh defense, I think that's another way to be different in your exposure to this. Although they have been leaving, you know, more production, but God, Hundley, he's not going to do it. He's not going to do a great job here. He's only got Devontae Adams, and as long as they can take away Devontae Adams, that's that. Seattle versus San Francisco, 42-point total here, 24-17 Seattle, favored by 7. You got to love Russ in this situation. You know, if we knew that there was a Seattle running back, but come on, do you want to play Seattle running back roulette? I mean, put a gun to your head and close your eyes and just, you know, don't bother, because it's just ridiculous. Seattle, though, recently, I mean, just last night, bumped out of the playoff picture. This is a must win. Everything is a must win until they get back into that wild card seed. Losing to Atlanta, they get bumped out of the wild card seed. They get a banged up defense. Tons of guys missing. Cliff Averill, Richard Sherman. I don't know if Earl Thomas played last night. I think Cam Chancellor came back, but very banged up. They're allowing more points. They're allowing, you know, they've lost twice at home to good teams in Washington and Atlanta, but losing twice at home is very, very uncharacteristic. So this is definitely a must-win bounce-back situation. Russ has thrown the ball over 40 times in three of his last five games. Unbelievable. I mean, he looked unreal last night. Some just ridiculous throws. San Francisco can put any pressure on him here. That's great. I mean, he's going to have to throw it again. You want that volume. He hasn't scored less than 19 fantasy points. He's been one of the best rushers on his team twice in that span in the last five games. Hyde is the other guy possibly in this game. You know, can we possibly think about Carlos Hyde on the opposite side? 20 touches in all of his last couple games, pretty much. Pretty effective against some very tough defenses. And now you get Seattle, who's been good against the run, trending in the right direction, struggling against the pass, no doubt about it. And we should see Jimmy Garoppolo back. Can you go to that Hyde-Garoppolo, you know, tandem here? I don't think you can. You kind of want to see how it goes. But, you know, he was really good against them. I mean, he was the first, he was the only 100-yard rusher that they have allowed. And after they did that, they really buttoned down the rush defense and fixed that. So, after that, they haven't really allowed 60 yards on the ground. And running backs struggle in the second divisional match. I don't think you can go to Hyde, but I will be watching the San Francisco offense to see how they come out of the bye. I've been long on them all year. I think my key plays here are definitely Russ and Doug Baldwin. I love Doug Baldwin in this spot. I don't have a problem with, you know, Lockett or Richardson if you want to throw a dart on one of those guys. I mean, they, you know, 5-6 targets, touchdown potential for sure, no doubt about it. But I think that the key red zone guy has been and will continue to be Jimmy Graham. And so Jimmy Graham is one of the better tight end plays just on a weekly basis, because as soon as they get in the red zone or inside the 10-yard line, Jimmy is basically what they use as their goal line offense. So you got to like Jimmy Graham in this situation as well if you presume that they are going to be high scoring. But, of course, I will always advocate for naked Russell Wilson because of the rushing upside. Also, by the way, J.D. McKissick, keep that name in your head. Denver versus Oakland, 43.5 point total, 19 points for Denver, 24 for Oakland. Oakland favored by 5. Honestly, Denver just announced that Paxton Lynch is starting, which is a real fuck all, because the problem you have now is you don't know how to project the receivers. I mean, I guess they're trying to see what they have in Lynch because they know this season is a wash. Fine. All right. I get it. Makes sense. No problem. But they're killing our fantasy options for Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas. And Demaryius Thomas had 2 touchdowns with Brock Osweiler. You could definitely look at Demaryius Thomas against this absolutely terrible pass defense. And no, I definitely not gone back and looked at what Paxton Lynch did in his attempts last year. Should I? Probably, yes. But fine, okay, I don't want to do that. I don't know. And Mike McCoy now is fired. So what do you expect from this? It's so hard to project the Denver offense, except for that they're in a ridiculously good matchup, and this is going to be a problem for Oakland because they just suck. I mean, they're just a terrible defense. On the other side, though, I mean, Denver has been yielding some of the most points to the quarterback and the wide receiver on a weekly basis in the last couple games. I mean, and no doubt about it that this defense has changed. They are struggling. And so if you want to be really different, I think you look at some of these Oakland guys and assume that nobody is going to go there. I mean, Bradley Roby Coleman has been beat like a drum in the last 2 weeks. And the word is out. So Crabtree will probably line up on him in certain sets. I think that's interesting. I think it's interesting to try to go take advantage of that matchup advantage. This is a really hard game. I mean, honestly, I feel like it's sort of a sharp over because of the way these teams, but Paxton Lynch throws that all for a loop. And the only other, by the way, the two assets that I will say is, you have a dead split in carries right now between C.J. Anderson and Devontae Booker. And Devontae Booker is kind of playing the Rex Burkhead to C.J. Anderson's Deion Lewis. 15 carries for C.J. Anderson, but Devontae Booker with like 10 carries and 4 or 5 targets. They kind of phased out Jamaal Charles, but because they think they want to, you know, get the young kid involved, see what they have in Booker. And he's been productive. I think against a really bad defense, you could see a good day for one of those guys. And they are so cheap. So cheap. So I think there's an interesting tournament option there. Chicago-Philadelphia, it's 44-point total. Philadelphia is this is just disrespectful for Philadelphia. They're only 13-point favorites at home. although, you know, we've seen the Bears. They have a better defense, I think, that certainly a better defense than Green Bay does right now. 15-28, although they lost to Green Bay. The match of advantage lies with all the Philly guys here. I mean, the problem that you have in this situation is that Chicago is not an aggressive offense. They will squeeze the ball. They're not going to be able to run the ball. They're going to try to run the ball anyway. they will have to throw. They'll be forced to throw the ball. So you have to think you have very, very lopsided time of possession in this one towards the Eagles. You have to like the Eagles defense. And you would love to say, okay, give me the running back. We have a positive game script. They're going to smash here. They're going to have the ball for, you know, 45 minutes. Give me the running back. Who's it going to be? I can't tell you. Is it Corey Clement? Because he has 3 touchdowns in the last 2 weeks. Maybe. Or is it LeGarrette Blount, who basically now gets 13 touches every single game and still produces 4 yards per carry? Or is it Jay Ajayi, who even on only 20 carries averages 10 yards per carry and had a touchdown, a big breakaway touchdown, because he's just really, really explosive? Like, very, very, very hard to get a grasp on what you can expect beyond Carson Wentz being in a good spot. And Carson Wentz, very, very much in play, but expensive. And you love him in this spot because I think that the Bears defense has been good and they're past it, but this guy is better. he's better. I think Carson Wentz is an interesting contrarian option. Stafford struggled a little bit with them. They just don't allow a lot of passing touchdowns. They're very, 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 you know, bend don't break type defense, and I think it's risky to go with a high price guy like Wentz in this situation. I think you could try to play running back roulette here, and if I had to, I would probably look at a guy like Clement, who, you know, gets passing work. I think that's a little bit appealing to me, but I think Ajayi also is a home favorite here, really has an opportunity to do good work. But this is a decent rush defense as far as adjusted fantasy points allowed. They're not even close to as bad as the Cowboys. So, I don't know. Maybe it's just the Philly's defense. Philly defense. Maybe that's it. Tennessee at Indianapolis. 44-point total here. 24-21. Tennessee favored by 3.5. The matchup advantage, though, really lies with the home team, man. T.Y. Hilton at home against a Tennessee pass defense that has actually been worse than the Colts in the last couple weeks. One of the worst in the league in adjusted fantasy points allowed and in just regular fantasy points allowed. Now, here's the thing. Antonio Brown will do that to you, right? Antonio Brown will cause some problems for the old numbers, the numbers guys. But this pass defense went through a stretch where they were getting some easy matchups. And then all of a sudden you get elite wide receivers like Antonio Brown and AJ Green and, you know, of course, Brandon LaFell. Brandon LaFell, by the way, Brandon LaFell very much in play this week. I'm not kidding. What do you want me to do? You want me to be kidding? It's the Cleveland pass defense. He's the second receiver on a Cleveland pass defense. That's been a profitable trend all year long. No doubt about it. So anyway, sorry. T.Y. Hilton, definitely. They rank 30th against the pass. Indy ranks in the 20s. They're proving their defense. They're at home. They're coming off a rest. We saw them limit the Steelers and kind of almost steal one there. Everybody was on Steelers onslaught. The Colts suck. And they said, no, we don't suck that bad. Rashawn Melvin has been very good. So I think be careful what you wish for when it comes to the Tennessee pass catchers. The one thing I will say is Mariota clearly is healthy. I mean, 11 rush attempts in the last 2 games, 55 yards and a touchdown on those. But I will say he has a ton of turnovers, 6 interceptions in his last 3 games. I mean, he's got to limit that. And against that halfway decent defense that's, you know, getting better and coming off of rest, you kind of don't really love the numbers for Mariota. Do you want to look at Corey Davis? I don't think you do. I mean, and Rashawn Melvin will shut down Antonio Brown. So what is he going to do with Rashard Matthews? You know, it's very difficult to project. I don't think it's a cash game type situation. I think it's a game. It's a game stack if you want to try and get people's, you know, dithering opinions like I am right now. You take advantage of that and you game stack it and you just go straight to the passing weapons. But I think Jacoby Brissett to T.Y. Hilton is probably what you do there. We've seen Brissett's ability to hit him. He's at home, you know, against a bad pass defense. There's not much more you need for T.Y. in this situation. Although he did struggle against them in the first match, but they took him out of that game. But, you know, that was Brissett on the road Monday night, one of his first, the first month worth of starts, that kind of thing. I think that's where I would go. The pass catchers. I mean, I don't mind Eric Decker either. I think he's different. Of course, these are all kind of GPP type plays in a low total game like this, where you have a lot of mediocre offenses. You don't really want to go to them in cash. Buffalo at Kansas City, 45 point total. Kansas City 10 point home favorites, implied for 27 points to Buffalo 17. I mean, Kansas City bounce back. Come on. They go back home to Arrowhead. They watch the film on a terrible game because they didn't actually prepare for the Giants deciding that they wanted to try. They prepared for the West Coast Giants, the shitty Giants, and the Giants decided, you know what, fine, we're just going to try because we're sick and tired of people making fun of us. Kansas City has to bounce back here. Buffalo's defense just allowing massive, massive scoring. And four of the last five straight weeks, they've allowed over 30 points, just back-to-back, 47 and 54 points allowed. His defense is just in a terrible position. By the way, the Raiders only scored 14 points on them, which that tells you there is a problem with this Raiders offense. They looked bad. They looked really bad in that New England game. Nothing. Derek Carr could stand in the pocket for 5 minutes, and it didn't look like he felt comfortable trying to hit a wide receiver. 5 minutes. I mean, it was terrible. Nobody was open. So I think if we're hammering the Kansas City side, you go back to the people that everybody got burned by last week, and that starts with Kareem Hunt. I mean, this team has been gashed by rushers. And Hunt, of course, you know, all the stats is weeks one and two on Twitter. Weeks one and two, Kareem Hunt, running back one, averaging 30 points per game. Weeks five through nine, you know, he sucks. All right, I get it, right? You know, I mean, that's what we do in this industry. We find sample sizes that fit our cause, and we, you know, we know how to sell and not sell, guys. I think that this is a bounce-back spot. This is a good matchup. If he hasn't gotten any chunk plays, and at any given moment, Andy Reid is liable to, you know, put in Sharkhandrick West. I get it. It's not my favorite, but I think it's smart. I think it's smart. You have a bad defense. You have a home favorite. You have a running back who's proven, you know, go back to him. Be comfortable. It was like the Melvin Gordon thing last week. I overthought it. How productive. Oh, Melvin Gordon's really inefficient. Oh, yeah, no. Well, he was fine. I mean, you know, he didn't even play the fourth quarter, but he got his touches. He found the end zone. Bad defense. It's the same situation. It's the same situation. And you have him very, very inexpensive. We'll talk about him in the player pool. Obviously, Kelce very much in play. I don't know if Tyreek Hill is going to play that hip thing. We'll see. He's probably going to be probable. He'll be on the injury report this week. But my guess is he will be probable. I don't necessarily know that I need to go to him. I think you could project Alex Smith to have a nice game here, though. And that would be a very different way to see things. Miami versus New England, 32-15. 48 points here implied, or excuse me, is the total. 32 implied for New England. 15 for Miami. New England is the heaviest favorite on the slate. With three or four teams now favored by over 10 points, New England favored by a touchdown and a half is insane. New England onslaught. So here's some, obviously, you know, Tommy, obviously Brandon Cooks, obviously Gronk. Okay, but here's a couple spots to think about. Danny Amendola's 12 receptions in his last two games for over 100 yards and a touchdown. Come on, man. Let's talk floor. You know, like, let's talk floor against a really, really bad pass defense. When you have to worry about Gronk, you have to worry about Brandon Cooks beating you on every single play. Like, Danny Amendola is the forgotten man. Like, just please. And I'm into it. I have no problem going to Danny Amendola. I realize that the air yards profile, not a massive upside. But here's what Danny Amendola does. He doesn't kill you, right? I mean, gets 8 targets again and 6 receptions for 75 yards and a touchdown. You're pretty fucking happy about that. Deion Lewis, lead dog on the backfield. 14 touches in both of his last two games, TDs in both of his last two games. And I think, you know, if you want to go to a running back here, I have no problem with Deion Lewis. You know, he's probably not going to get more than 15 touches, though. So if you project them for massive positive game script, you go back to Rex Burkhead, who got burned everybody. But if Mike Gillisley is active, then you're really going to have a real head scratcher there, gang, which he could be. This is Bill. You know, don't sleep on Bill. He just activates Mike Gillisley just to screw with us. You know, because, well, you know, if we get ahead by 45 points, then I, you know, you put Gillisley in there, and Mike is he's a good runner, and he's worked hard, and yeah. Any other questions? I work on my Belichick impression. That was fun. But I, you know, I think there's also a possibility for a Gronk sighting here. We haven't seen him do much in the last couple weeks. A couple targets here, a couple targets there, but maybe Tommy hits him. Brandon Cooks has been ridiculously hot, though. I mean, this guy is unbelievable. I'll talk about the player breakdown, but the numbers are there, and it's, you know, I thought the first couple weeks I was vindicated. I was like, whew, didn't overinvest in a guy, you know, in a new offense. That's not what you want to do. Tom Brady, of course. I'm not running it back with Matt Moore and Kenny Stills. I know Matt Moore loves Kenny Stills. This pass defense is good. And it's Matt Moore. Matt Moore as a starter is bad. Matt Moore's relief pitcher is very good. Moving back to the bullpen. All right, Tampa Bay versus Atlanta, 49-point total here. Atlanta, another 10-point favorite here. 29 implied at home in the Georgia Dome. Remember that Ludacris song where he was like, 50-yard line to George Dome with a dirty bird kick for three. I remember that. That song was fucking awesome. I think Atlanta is trending in the right direction, okay? Very much. This could be a smash spot. But Tampa Bay's defense, not quite the whipping boy that it was in a couple games earlier this season. Although, you know, I mean, they got demolished by the Saints, you know, on the ground, in the air. They gave it up to Jarvis Landry. The slot continues to be the place where these guys produce. So Mohamed Sanu is just, I mean, that is one of the easiest plays of the week. Slot receivers against this team have destroyed them all year long. They have one of the highest reception rates. They have one of the highest, you know, fantasy points per route, all that stuff. So Mohamed Sanu is almost a lock in cash games for me against this team. They're spreading the ball around. You know, Freeman is going to probably return from the concussion. Tevin Coleman didn't really do much on the ground to the point that they had to give carries to Terren Ward last night. Lavine Tolilo sighting on a 30-yard touchdown. We all called that, of course, you know. This is what this team does. I said this last week. If they are doing it right, everybody gets a piece of the pie. It's like Joe Maddon coaching football, right? Everybody gets a chance. And, you know, that's fine. That's good. But it's hard to project what they're going to do. I think Julio is in a phenomenal spot, though. I just don't think there's no team that allows, you know, more deep targets. I'll talk about Julio later, but I think he's in a great spot. I think it's Julio, Sanu. You could definitely get a receiver in here. And if you like all those guys, I mean, is this the Matt Ryan where he finally breaks through for three passing touchdowns? Or do you go back to Freeman in this spot? If he comes out of the concussion protocol and you say, yeah, I'm going back to him, this is a great spot for him. Well, the Tampa Bay's rush defense, not terrible. New Orleans versus the Rams. Holy what did we do to deserve this? This is going to be great. Fantasy goodness. 53 points here. These are two of the best offenses in the NFL. 53 total points, 25-27. New Orleans only favored by 2.5 here. I mean, you got to love everything in this game, man. Both, you know, solid pass defenses on the surface, and then they took a massive step back last week, right? This kind of like veneer kind of got chipped away when all of a sudden they faced some decent wide receivers and quarterbacks and was like, oh, wow, okay, maybe they're not that good. Maybe it's just shitty opponents and the ability to constantly jam their offense down other people's throats. You know, you have some injuries on both sides. On the Saints, you got Okafor, who's a pass rusher, a defensive end, and Marshawn Lattimore. I don't think he's going to play. They're signed another corner. I don't think he's going to play. I think this ankle injury is going to be a just like, we're okay. We don't have to, you know, we can win games even with Drew Brees. We don't have to worry about this. And it changes everything when you don't have a shutdown corner on one side of your defense. And then two corners out for the Rams, who we got to keep an eye on. Nickel Roby Coleman and Deion Webster. So we'll keep an eye on those two guys as well. So you have these pass defenses that kind of got exposed last week, giving up production. Good quarterbacks figured out. Case Keenum and Kirk Cousins said, "Hey, man, I'm a playmaker. I'm coming for you guys." You got to love both of the running backs, by the way. I mean, all the running backs, all three of them are in play, always. They've been in play all year, but they're definitely, I mean, you could just do this. Roster the running backs, Gurley and Ingram, everyone in this game. Goff is interesting. Breeze is, I mean, it's all, everybody here possibly interesting. How do you find the edges? How much of this game do you have? That's when you really have a question. I think you're going to have to monitor the practice reports, the injury reports, that kind of stuff. We'll dive a little bit deeper on your own time. I'm not going to be able to do that for you guys this week, okay? You're going to have to, you know, do a little bit of research by your damn selves. So let's, speaking of what I would normally do, let's take a quick break. Going to pivot over to the player breakdown. While we're taking this break, going to go to the player breakdown. Want to talk to you guys about Harry's. Harry's.com/lineup. That is where you need to go to get your free razor. You get a free trial. You sign up with Harry's.com and you are going to get a free razor from them. Just pay the shipping. I got to say, you guys know that I have been a Harry's guy. Been a Harry's guy for a long time. I'm advocating for this Harry's as a holiday gift. Guys, I'm telling you, the best idea. This is the easiest gift, I'm telling you. You go over there, you get the gift set. They have a limited edition holiday gift set that they're offering. All right, you get the 5-blade cartridge, you get the gel, you get the chrome and emerald green handle. It's they right here. It's just nice, firm handle, weighty, good weight to it, good grip on it, you know. And they'll personalize it with engraving. For the person that, so you want to put the name on it, they'll put his name on it, or her name on it. I mean, my wife steals my razor. I don't know if you guys know, my wife steals my razor. Gift sets start at $10. It's the perfect office gift. It's the perfect brother-in-law gift. And you got to go to harrys.com/lineuplogic. This holiday, give Harry's, give handsome. Get that holiday shopping done early. I'm telling you, this is a breeze, guys. Take advantage of the free shipping. Take advantage of the holiday offers. Help out the show. It's too easy. It's too easy. Just get in there. Even if you buy yourself one. I mean, you get yourself a decent razor, for Christ's sake, would you? All right, moving on to the player breakdown here. Let's go to the top of the slate. Let's talk about some quarterbacks here. I mean, Tommy Brady, greatest quarterback of all time, kid. No doubt about it. Miami Dolphins are just terrible. They're a terrible football team. They're bad at football. 9,100 on FanDuel, 7,700 on DraftKings. Listen, if you could fit him in last week, try to fit him in this week, would you please? They're 28th in AFPA, 31 in DVOA. They've lost consecutive games to Cam and Fitzmagic, giving up, like, what was it, 75 total points? They gave up 30 to Fitzmagic and 45 to Cameron. They've allowed over 20 points per game to the quarterback in the last month. Man, there's just so much production here. Brady's going to put up a 50 burger again. The only pass defense that's worse is Oakland. I don't know why they lined him up like this for us, but it's just knock him down, man. He's been really good. 0.53 fantasy points per drop back. That's the same number scoring as Wentz. There's a couple guys who are a little bit better, you know, Russell Wilson, for example, but he is just as good of a passer right now as Carson Wentz, a fantasy option as Wentz. So the only team that's, this is a fun stat, the only team that allows a higher passer rating, the Raiders. So the Dolphins are 31 and the Raiders are 32. I mean, we saw what happens here. I mean, you could just jam in Brady and Gostkowski and you feel good about it. But if you want to pivot down to Russ, I think that's smart too. I have no problem with that. I mean, you're getting a lot of savings on both sides. He is 8,600 and 7K on DraftKings. Russ offers that Brady doesn't is the rushing upside. 376 rushing yards on the season, 3 touchdowns, you know, and last night was a perfect example of that. He just smashed in the rush game. Basically was the team's lead rusher. He's been their lead rusher in 3 games in the last couple. So he is the offense. You know, all things Seahawks go through Russ. 0.54 points per fantasy points per drop back. The Niners have been better in the last month, only 16 points per game to the quarterback. However, you have to consider who they have faced. You got a Drew Stanton in there. You got an Eli in there, right? I mean, now enter Russ with a must-win type situation. You got a banged-up defense on the San Francisco side of things. You got to really like Wilson in this situation. They're 27th in DVOA, 20th in AFPA to the quarterback. But you got to like Russ. I mean, come on now. It's also Westbrook. Now, for some reason, Drew Brees has gotten the Tommy Brady pricing treatment from week 11. He's fucking $7,800 on the highest total on the slate. Okay, $7,800, $6,900 on DraftKings. It's just the rent is too damn cheap. Highest total of the week, explosive offenses facing off against defenses that might not be as good as they played in the last couple of weeks. Yes, the numbers tell us don't like this situation, don't like this spot. But the numbers also tell us that Kirk Cousins and Case Keenum combined for over 50 points against these teams last week. Okay? You want to put these guys in a situation against each other in which they possibly have to say, okay, let's rely on the offense. Let's not rely on the defense. The thing about Brees is, you know, okay, the Rams are 2 in AFPA to the quarterback and 1 in DVOA, all overall DVOA. That's great. That's fine. Cupcake schedule. Okay. The only decent quarterbacks that they have faced were Kirk Cousins, who they beat. They got drubbed by Kirk at home. I mean, everyone seems to forget that the Redskins beat the Rams handily. And then they lost to Russ. Okay, they didn't put up a huge numbers. Russ didn't put up huge numbers, but they lost to Russ. They let Dak score 3 touchdowns on him. And then Case Keenum. So enter Drew Brees. I mean, he is easily one of the best passers that they have faced in the last month. Dak, I mean, I think you got to like Drew Brees in this situation. Yes, the Saints are going to lean on the run. They have been leaning on the run, and the reality is that this rush defense is not that good, and they've been leaning, they've been giving up the production in the running game. You know, we saw Latavius Murray had a massive week. By the way, I talked about Latavius Murray on last week's podcast. I said $4,000 is too cheap for the lead running back in an offense. I don't care what you think of the Rams defense. It's too cheap. He paid that price off. If Goff is capable of putting pressure on New Orleans, then I think you like Brees even more, because what we have to see is we have to see New Orleans defense giving up points. For Brees to be relevant, you have to see New Orleans defense giving up points. I don't love what I saw from Goff last week. However, I will say that I do think Minnesota's defense, just from a consistency standpoint, is probably better than New Orleans defense. I mean, New Orleans kind of has the same cupcake schedule that the Rams have had. So you really are going to have, like, you know, some proving that's going to go on in this game. It's hard to project game script, but it's hard, but I think it's right to say that this is a high scoring game. No doubt about it. All right. Moving on to some other guys who may be a little bit cheaper, a little bit lower owned. Matthew P. Ryan, 7,600, 6,400. Bad. You know, this team is, Tampa Bay is just, they're terrible. And 24th in overall passer rating allowed, 27th in passer rating on the deep ball. They have been 25th in AFPA to the quarterback, 31st to the wide receiver. And listen, Matt Ryan is not an elite fantasy quarterback this year. He hasn't really had those explosive games. He hasn't been asked to throw the ball very far. He hasn't been asked to throw the ball that much. I mean, he only has 200 yards and 2 TDs. That's been his ceiling in the last couple games. When this offense really starts cooking, Matt Ryan throws 2 touchdowns. That's it. You're not going to get a huge elite fantasy numbers, but one of these games, you have to think that Ryan possibly goes for 3 touchdowns. The Tampa Bay, you know, he is one of the best adjusted completion rates in the league, and Tampa Bay allows a massive adjusted completion or a massive completion rate. That's what you like about Matt Ryan in this situation. Am I a little bit of a Matt Ryan guy? Yeah, I'm a little bit of a Matt Ryan guy. I root for the guy. But I do think that you have a good quarterback against a bad defense. And I think that there's a possibility with elite weapons at home. There's a very good chance that, you know, listen, 77% adjusted completion rate for Matt Ryan. That is fourth on the leaderboard. It goes Breeze, Smith, Brady, Matt Ryan. Okay. He doesn't make mistakes. So you like Matt Ryan in this spot with all the weapons, the offense playing well, the defense is getting takeaways and turnovers. I like that as well. You create some short fields against Fitzmagic in this situation. You know, and the nice thing is there's a chance that the Atlanta pass defense has been kind of giving up production in the last couple games. They've been giving it up. They're not to the wide receiver, but they've been giving up points to the quarterback. So you could see this situation where they have to actually push a little bit here. You could definitely see them having to push a little bit in this spot and score some points, put some points up on the Bucs. Cam against the Jets. I know people are going to be interested. I think you should be. It's just kind of how you feel about Cam. He's been very good in his last couple. I mean, he's one of the most valuable fantasy quarterbacks out there. The Jets are 18th in FPA to the quarterback. The rushing upside is what you love. I mean, he's had over 85 yards in two of his last three games. That's insanity. You're getting a running back plus a quarterback, and he's running the ball that much. Now, the Jets allow rushing yards to the quarterback, but they don't allow a lot of offense in general. So I'm a little bit anxious about the matchup. They're 29th in AFPA, but 19th in DVOA. They're trending in the right direction. They haven't allowed it. Like I said, they haven't allowed a 100-yard receiver or, a 100-yard rusher in a little while. And in fact, you know, you just wonder what's the ceiling in this offense for Cam. What's the ceiling against, you know, sure, it's a bad defense, but it's not a terrible defense. I mean, you know, they allowed 31 points to the Dolphins, and that was kind of a shootout type situation on the road. But outside of that, I mean, you're looking at 25 to the Falcons, 24 to the Patriots, 14 to the Browns, 6 to the Dolphins, 20 to the Jaguars. You know, the Raiders were the only team that really beat them up, and that was really early in the season. And it just kind of, what's the upside here is my problem. And I think a lot of it depends on Morris Claiborne. If Claiborne doesn't play, then I think you have a really nice path to a very productive passing day for Cam, which I think helps his ceiling for sure. So you can go to him. I think if you want to go to value tier, you go to Andy Dalton versus Cleveland. He already had this matchup. He smashed. He had 28 points, 4 touchdowns. They were still 30th in AFPA to the quarterback. And it's just as good a matchup as it would be, you know, against Oakland or Miami. So he's in a good matchup, just as good a matchup as old Paxton Lynch and Tommy two-time. So I think you could definitely go to Andy Dalton. Jacoby Brissett, not bad here either. 6,900 and 5,400 on DK. Tennessee allowing some of the most production to wide receivers in the league, and as a result, some of the most production to the quarterback. I mean, we've seen some massive lines from opposing quarterbacks. And the Colts are trending in the right direction. They're coming off the bye. They had a couple good games. They're not an explosive offense, but we know what Jacoby Brissett can do. He's had 6 touchdowns in his last 3 games. You know, he's kind of almost like the same line as Matt Ryan, 200 yards and 2 touchdowns, but you're paying a much cheaper price for him than you are for Matt Ryan. So he's interesting here. I think people in tournaments will probably be talking about him against the Tennessee defense. Well, maybe in cash on DK, because where you want to always pay down for QBs. All right, let's talk running back. You got to talk about Lev Bell here. 9,400 on FanDuel, 92 on DK. DK, that price is restrictive. But positive game script. We've seen massive opportunities in that situation. I think last week was an anomaly. You only saw a few carries. I think that's an anomaly. I think it was a short week. They're trying to protect him. They put him in passing situations so that he doesn't take a lot of abuse on the short week. Makes a lot of good sense. Green Bay up to 20th in AFPA. They allow, you know, limited production in back-to-back weeks. Collins did fine. He got in the end zone, saved his day. Howard did not well. Which is damning, because Jordan Howard has had some huge games against mediocre defenses, and for them to be able to stop Howard kind of makes me a little bit cautious here. I mean, he's been Bell has not been hyper-efficient. This is not like Todd Gurley. He's taking things 6 yards per carry or Alvin Kamara or anything. I mean, he's had like 3-4 yards per carry in certain games. They're just giving him tons of volume. 90% snap rate, the most touches in among all running backs right now. He's the only back that really, really owns that massive, massive chunk of the red zone work. I mean, 100% of carries inside the five is an insanely safe stat. He's at home. I mean, yeah, I don't know what else. I mean, the only argument that I have against him is he's been relatively inefficient and he's let you down a couple times. So fade, Operation Fade Le'Veon is at your own risk. They're at home, long week, bad defense that's not going to be able to sustain anything. I don't know. I mean, what do you, I don't know. There's not much here else to say, guys. Moving on, Todd Gurley. He's really attractive, though. 8,500 on FanDuel. That price is great on FanDuel. 8,800 on DraftKings. Listen, Samaje Perine proved you can run on this team last week. In a competitive game, he had a 91% snap rate. You're going to have a competitive game here against New Orleans, no doubt. But he only had 2 yards per carry. Minnesota really proved that they know how to stop this guy, and they did. They bottled him up. They took him away. And when you take away something from this team, whether it be Goff or Gurley, you are capable of stopping this team. I mean, we've seen two or three teams do it really, really well. And part of the way that they do it is they have some shutdown corners. Washington did it. Okay, they weren't able to take away Gurley, but they were able to take away Goff and the wide receivers. Seattle did it by taking away Gurley and the wide receivers on the outside, and then Minnesota did it. So if this offense doesn't score 30 points, it's going to score like 10. And that is kind of a weird conundrum to be in. Now, New Orleans, clearly not quite the defense that we thought. I mean, I think, especially without Marshawn Lattimore, you have to think that changes the way that the secondary has to play. But is Jared Goff the go-getter like Kirk Cousins is? Like, is Kirk Cousins the kind of quarterback that can put pressure on the Saints because he's a playmaker? He's going to find plays. You know, the thing that you like, though, is that Perine, who's not a very effective rusher, smashed. And I think that Gurley, that is on film, and Gurley between the tackles hasn't been amazing, but he smashed Houston for almost 8 yards per touch, over 10 yards per carry, 11 for 67. He's done these games where he really just, all he does is chunks, huge chunks, huge chunks. So I think that there's something to like here about Gurley in this situation, no doubt about it. We know the Rams' offensive line has been good for sure. No, let me see how they stack up versus the real quick. Let me quickly pull up how they stack up versus Washington's offensive line. Washington, by the way, lost their center, which is a big deal. They were finally healthy, and then they're fourth overall, and Washington, yeah, they're not nearly as good as, or excuse me, much better than Washington. So you have to like this spot for the Rams against the Saints here. If you're pivoting down, I think you go down to Kareem Hunt, and like, yeah, you got to go back there. I think you have to expect he's going to continue to progress. It's a weird game script last week. He only got 4 carries in the first half, and then all of a sudden he got, 14 carries in the second half, and he actually was over 4 yards per carry and all that kind of stuff. I don't really think that they were ready for New York. I think that's what happened. They presumed that this team had quit. They assumed that they weren't going to get any resistance. They came in, the wind threw them off, and the fact that this defense tried threw them off, but he's averaging 20 touches per game. He just hasn't scored. He hasn't scored since September. I mean, it's as simple as that. That's where his fantasy production is lacking. And if you don't get touchdowns as a running back, you're not an elite fantasy running back. So Buffalo allowing some of the most rushing production in the last month, an average of 39 points per game, though. I mean, it's just insane. Like, the next closest in the last month is 30 points per game. And that's the Chargers. Hello, Alfred Morris. You have a hard time fading this, and this is the best matchup on the board, no doubt about it, for a running back. I have a hard time fading it. Even over Le'Veon Bell, you have a home favorite in the best matchup on the board. This is far and away the best matchup on the board. So sue me if I say that I'm going to go with Antonio Brown, Todd Gurley and Kareem Hunt. I don't know that they've been similarly efficient. There's a lot of people out there shaking their head going, Sean, I don't know about that. And you're right. I don't know about that either. I don't know if I'm going to do that. So don't go doing that. Don't go breaking my heart. Ingram and Kamara, they're priced about the same. That's interesting, huh? I mean, best offensive line in the league. They continue to produce over 200 yards per game for both of them. Multiple touchdowns per game for both of them in the last two. I don't know, there's really nothing else to say except for you always have to consider these guys. And Latavius Murray proved that the same exact thing that the Saints did to the Redskins, you can do to the Rams. You just run straight up the middle at them, and you can smash them straight in the mouth. And that is kind of how you beat this team. And I think that it's a model that, both teams are going to use. The Washington used it against the Saints, and the Saints are going to use it against the Rams. I mean, and Minnesota used it against the Rams, and the Saints are going to use it against the Rams. I think you're going to see this game really be a lot about the carries. And I think that if I'm interested in Ingram, he didn't get the volume because he had weird game script. 11 carries though for over 100 yards. That's insanity how efficient he is when he gets the ball because of this offensive line. They create such gaping holes here. So definitely an interesting spot for Mark Ingram. Hard to fade him with the way that they have been producing here in the last couple. And, the other thing is if you look at some of the Saints. Like, if you look at that road game, that Buffalo road game, playing on the road, who did they give the ball to? They gave the ball to Ingram because you want to give the ball to a guy who is going to take air out of the stadium there. The Packers game, who did they give the ball to? They gave the ball to Ingram 22 times. Alvin Kamara had his standard 15 touches, but if you look at the last two road games for the Saints, you're looking at over 20 touches for Mark Ingram. That's the common denominator here. Now, Kamara also smashed in that Bills game, but that was a blowout. But I think that what you look at is you look at the upside of playing Ingram in a possible game script where he gets 22 carries after only getting 11 carries last week. I like that. I like that a lot. I think it's interesting. If you want to go down to Deion Lewis, I have no problem with that. I mean, 14 carries is not a lot, but if you want to do the jam it in where you go with Brady and AB and, Gurley, Deion Lewis might be your path to doing that. 6,200 on FanDuel, 4,800 on DraftKings, which is just phenomenal. I mean, his biggest home favorite on the slate. He's the only goal line back that they have. He still hasn't fumbled, unlike Rex Burkhead. He's too cheap, and he's on the best team in football. So, what do you want me to say? Last week was the ceiling, though. That's the problem. 15 touches, a couple catches, the touchdown. He's a great value if he gets in the end zone. Because he doesn't really get volume or that much passing work, he's not a great volume if he doesn't, or excuse me, not great if he doesn't get in the end zone. But, I mean, come on. Miami has been a terrible defense. We saw Jonathan Stewart's best rushing game of all time against them. And, they are allowing at least one rushing touchdown per game in the last month. So you have to consider that, no doubt about it. By the way, the Bills numbers in the last month, listen to this shit. 5.4 yards per carry, 166 yards on average on the ground, two and a half rushing touchdowns, 39 fantasy points allowed to the running back in the last 4 weeks. That's their averages, allowing six receptions as well. I mean, for 43 yards. What? This is basically like a college level rush defense. They are getting gashed. How do you not like Kareem Hunt? Even one of the most inefficient running backs in Melvin Gordon in three quarters put up, 90 yards and a touchdown. He didn't even catch the ball. By the way, on the list, you ready for on the list bad rush defenses in the last month? On the list, bad rush defenses. Lions. Sorry, I'm sorting through. Redskins. Dolphins on the list, bad rush defense. Yep. Giants on the list. There you go. Yards per carry, yards per game. That's what I'm looking at. Because that correlates with fantasy production, by the way. Oakland, terrible. Rush defense, 125 yards per game. So you definitely, Niners. Anyway, sorry, all right, that's enough about that. Those are all your bad rush defenses in the last month. Things change because you have to pay attention to that. Okay, a couple, speaking of Oakland, bad rush defense. CJ Anderson is 3,900 on DraftKings. He was crying in his locker. I don't know if you guys saw that clip. It's kind of sad, actually. CJ was like, felt bad for the guy. Devontae Booker, 3,700. There's 20 touches for these guys. I mean, one of the worst defenses in the league. They allow 5 yards per carry, 125 rushing yards per game. You tell me that you don't want to put one of those guys in your flex position? I have no problem. I have no problem looking at one of those guys, and definitely in a tournament situation, because there is possibility that they just give him a ton of rushes. Booker is catching the ball. That's the one thing I will say. And this offense, is now under the control of Paxton Lynch. But who knows? It may just hand the ball off to these two guys and give them 20 carries each. Why not? Why wouldn't you? I mean, the offensive line is terrible. That's why you wouldn't do it. J.D. McKissic. He is the lead back, unless we hear differently in Seattle. I don't care what you hear about Thomas Rawls, whatever the case may be. J.D. McKissic has been their most productive back. He just rushed for almost 5 yards per carry. He catches the ball out of the backfield. I think J.D. McKissic is the perfect tournament play this week. He's cheap. He is in an offense that should be in a good situation. And I think that he is under the radar. I am going to pick him up in season long. That's what I'm doing. I'm picking him up in season long because if he goes out and he turns into the Seahawks Alvin Kamara, 8 targets, I want that. I want the Seahawks guy that does that. I want that guy. And he's been productive, and he can catch the football. He's a wide receiver in college. Ty Montgomery style. Anyway, all right, wide receiver, here we go. Moving on. Antonio Brown versus the Packers, the best fantasy wide receiver in the world, in the history of all mankind. I know there's some people out there saying different things, but against one of the worst pass defenses in the league, he scored 5.7 fantasy points or 0.57 fantasy points per opportunity, 15 yard A dot. All the air yards are the market share. He's at home, 29th in the league in AFPA. I don't think you need anything else. Antonio Brown, build around him. Doug Baldwin, yes, I love this spot for Dougie Dougs. San Francisco, better against the pass, okay? Fine, they've been a little bit better, but they've also had some shitty quarterbacks, but they recently, and Doug is not that guy. Out of the slot, you gotta love Baldwin. We just saw Sterling Shepard blow this team up for what was it, like 11 catches for 150 yards. Since the bye, Baldwin, listen to these numbers. 24 points, 11 points, 24, 14, 12, 3 touchdowns in that span. So, I mean, you're talking about a very, very clear 10-point floor as a pass catcher in this offense that is now a pass-first offense because they can't run the ball for shit. I like this spot against them. I think he gets some healthy volume here, and Russ makes it worth our while. Julio versus Tampa Bay. He's at home. He's favored. And here's a blind test. 14-yard A dot, 0.5 fantasy points per game or per opportunity. Who does that sound like? Sounds exactly like A.J. Green, who's the number 3 fantasy wide receiver on the board right now. Julio is the exact same numbers. You know what Julio doesn't have? A touch, more than one touchdown. One touchdown. It is tilting, yes, but he is a phenomenal receiver in a phenomenal matchup. I like this, the ability to exploit a bad pass defense. The Bucs are 28th in pass DVOA, 31 in AFPA. Just come on now. let's be comfortable here. Now, I do love Mohamed Sanu just as much. Don't get me wrong. but he's cheap. I mean, Julio, this is a cheap price for Julio at home. And if you want to get, I mean, this could be the Julio game. That's what I'm saying. There's every week I'm going to say this could be the Julio game. Pivoting to Brandon Cooks versus Miami. He's a top five fantasy wide receiver. Two straight games with massive yardage, over 75 yards on just like six receptions. He just crushes the ADOT and yards of reception. He's unbelievable. Worst pass defense in the league beyond Oakland, who, okay, he would have put up 25 points against Oakland. So what, he puts up 24 against the second worst pass defense in the league? He's going to get over on this defense. His rapport is building with Tommy. He's at home. The Chargers were the only team recent history to limit him, and they've been a phenomenal pass defense, no doubt about it. He's had more than 13 fantasy points in five of his last six games. If you can fit him in, fit him in. Michael Thomas versus the Rams. The Rams are good. They're not great. Ask Adam Thielen. They allow production. They've allowed average production to the wide receiver. And how many elite wide receivers have they seen? You know what I mean? How many elite wide receivers have they seen? Michael Thomas is elite. If this game stays competitive, you know you're going to see some targets for him. I think if you get more injury news about this Rams secondary, too, you have to like him. They are second in pass DVOA, but it just doesn't seem right to me. It doesn't seem right. I mean, the PFF grades are not there. The fantasy points per route is not there. It just doesn't all line up for the individual personnel. So it's an interesting spot to possibly look at Thomas as a contrarian option. T.Y. Hilton versus Tennessee. Love it. At home, T.Y. Hilton is just a filthy, filthy option at home. I don't love the divisional matchup. I do love that he's at home. I do love that he's facing one of the worst pass defenses in the league. I mean, this pass defense is almost as bad as the Packers. And you have T.Y. Hilton at home coming off of an extended rest. So I think this is a great spot to look at Hilton. I think in general, the Tennessee defense is okay. And I don't like how they limited him last time, but I think that Brissett now feels more comfortable airing it out to Hilton. And we've seen him get some receptions in his last couple games. So it's definitely a spot where you could go back to him. Alshon Jeffrey is too cheap. That's one thing I'll say. Thomas and Sanders versus Oakland, and then a Cooper and Crabtree versus Denver. Some of these guys are going to score. One of these guys is going to score. I don't know who it's going to be because they're two of the hardest offenses to project with some of the best, because you've had really bad quarterback play. I mean, Derek Carr has not been good recently. I don't know what else to say. You watch him, he's not confident. It's not working for him. The guys aren't getting open. You know, that whole Kansas City thing really felt like a blip. I don't like it. But Thomas and Sanders versus Oakland, worst pass defense in the league. You got to think that Lynch could get to one of them. I'm not really sure who. But Sanders is really, really cheap. $6,300 on FanDuel. I really like that price for him. Danny Amendola, I mentioned him versus Miami. I love the floor there. Mohamed Sanu, I love the floor there as well. I think those are the kind of guys that maybe if you go with a jam them in approach at the top and you want to get all the best wide receiver running back, you go to the jam them in. By the way, another guy you could go to jam him in, Brandon LaFell. Why aren't we talking about Brandon LaFell? Because he's Brandon LaFell, Sean. You're right. Okay, he is Brandon LaFell. But he is getting the Cleveland Cavaliers. Worst defense in basketball. One of the worst pass defenses in the league. And against bad pass defense, Tennessee, 6 for 95 and a touch. All right. He had 10 targets in that game. He has only dropped below 5 targets against Jacksonville in the last 4 weeks. You know, I mean, I think LaFell, I'm LaFeeling it. That was really corny, but I liked it. I like it a lot. I'm LaFeeling it. So he is an interesting tournament option that no one wants to play, but you might be interested. Tight end. I think you get a Gronk sighting this weekend, by the way, guys. I think it's a Gronk sighting in Foxborough. You know, he's been quiet lately, and it's with good reason. You save him for the playoffs, don't get him injured, reduce his snap rate, all those kinds of things. The argument is there for, you know, run Rex Burkhead on the same routes. They can do that. They know how to do that. It's fine. And you save Graham, 3 targets. But I think Gronk could have a nice one today, or in this situation. You're concentrating on the wide receivers. We saw O.J. Howard get over on this team last week, so it's an interesting spot. But Jimmy Graham is really, really well-priced. He's basically their goal line offense. I really like Jimmy Graham. Stacking him with Russ, I think that's a great way to do it. And if you want to go down, Jared Cook versus Denver. Bounce back spot. He looked bad in the New England game, but, you know, you have a situation where there are, I believe they are back home versus Denver. Cook, still a lead wide receiver. Denver defense, not that good in general right now, and definitely not that good versus the tight end. So those are some guys that I'm looking at. And Delanie Walker and Jack Doyle, I think that those are good. Those two guys are primary pass catchers in their respective offenses. I think you could definitely look at those guys. Moving on, defense. The Jaguars, I mean, if you want to find a defense that's going to, score a ton of points and possibly, never give up a touchdown, it's the Jaguars. I think the Bengals are interesting. Browns are only implied for 15, and the Bengals are at home. You like that. They're pretty good with the takeaway margin in Philly. Of course, Philadelphia's defense, very, 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 very solid, especially in the pass rush department there. So I think you could definitely look at Philadelphia against Trubisky on the road. I mean, and they're just honestly, they're going to have the ball the entire game. I wouldn't be surprised if the Bears just don't score. So I like that. I like that quite a bit. If we get Nathan Peterman news, then you have to start the Chiefs, okay? You have to start the Chiefs, no doubt about it. Moving on to the kicker. Guys, it's a pay-up for kicker situation. You have guys in Matt Bryant, Steven Gostkowski, Jake Elliott, and Greg the Leg, and Chris Boswell, who are favorites at home with almost 28 or more totals. You have to pay up. Kicker is one of the most consistent positions that there is. And when you have an offense that's set to destroy, you have to be willing to pay for a kicker in that offense. I mean, Gostkowski scored 20 points. He outscored like almost everyone. He outscored every wide receiver, every wide receiver that people were touting. And it was Gostkowski the whole time. 5,100. Pay up for kicker. I'm telling you, pay up for kicker, pay up for defense. And that is all. Guys, hey, enjoy Thanksgiving. Enjoy the family. Have a beer or two on me, on the old Lineup Logic crew. We're going to try to bring you some more content tonight. I've been podcasting my ass off. I need to go drink a gallon of water. But I love you. Merry Christmas to all, and to all a happy Thanksgiving.